Like, I'm like, yo, I'll take black all day long.
Right, over Arab. Yeah, these exactly. days, bro, these days, you might have to switch gears.
I could start, I'm going to start auditioning for black roles in Hollywood.
Hey, this
there's,
is
there's a role open on the show Empire.
Oh, yeah?
I'm going to audition for that role.
She's got to be gay now, too.
Who knows?
Everybody wake up. Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Chorus praising, now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place.
Wake up late now, everybody.
Wake up late
now, everybody.
Wake up late
now, everybody.
I said one, two, three. Everybody wake up. Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Right.
Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Thanks, Elgin. Everybody, welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. It's Wednesday, May 8th, here in Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. I'm joined by Jen Hellman.
Hello.
And special guest, Ahmed Ahmed.
Hello.
And welcome, buddy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I've seen this online so many times.
Yeah.
And now I'm finally here. It's a little surreal.
I'm just glad that you're watching the show. You know,
I didn't say I was watching it. I said I was. I've seen it. No, I'm joking.
I mean, right. It's Joe Rogan and then us.
Yeah,
you know? Pretty much. Yeah. You, Corolla.
Yeah, I'm in that.
Mark Maron.
Oddly enough, I'm not in the same sequence on the charts.
Soon to be.
Soon to be.
How long has this been going on?
Too long for not getting the recognition. We're thinking about kiboshing the whole fucking thing, to be honest with you.
About how long have you been doing
it? About 4 years.
Okay.
But it's been growing. We had a certain host, and then I started opening the host to other comics in the area, and then we realized that we want to have some host stay with us. And Jen was here for a little bit, then she stopped.
Right.
And then she came back because she couldn't get enough of it.
Now, do you, when touring comics are coming through Florida, especially right. this area, do you try to get them on?
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially people that do the show, that do the Wise right. Guys show, one of the shows. We've had some people here, a lot of people in the studio, I guess.
Right? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I think, right? Yeah, you've had a lot of fun faces.
Schubert's been here.
I love Jimmy Schubert.
Yeah. He stopped by the NoHo Comedy Festival, which felt good. In a sense.
I heard. I saw
yeah,
that.
He came by.
I saw that on Facebook. I see everything on Facebook. I feel like Instagram and Facebook, even Twitter, but mostly Instagram and Facebook, like I don't have to hang out with my friends anymore.
Right.
Because you see everything.
You see
I just
on.
See everything. Even the Insta stories, it's like, oh, you're peeing. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you more active on one than the other?
Lately, I've been more active on Instagram.
Sure.
Look, social media is fun to an extent, but mm-hmm. like, it's so hard to keep up with it all right now. Like,
yeah.
I'm 48 years old. You know,
right,
I can't really be doing like this all day.
Right.
Then
but
I look
you
like,
can watch us do it.
I'll watch you guys.
You can watch girls all
oh,
day
yeah.
long. Duck lips.
So,
that's
but,
the way to do it.
Who do you have sponsors on this?
None.
None? No, you sponsor your own show?
Yeah, I fund the whole bill.
Hey, not a bad thing.
We got some patrons that could donate money. We get like about $8-$10 a month. Whatever I get, I give the gas money to the co-host.
There you go.
We could. And Jen's in the marketing and advertising, so we were thinking about something getting. But we need to really expand somehow and get a little
right.
more.
Right. I thought about bringing on a lot of the sponsors who I can speak to, like Tito's, condom companies.
Tito's vodka?
Yeah.
You mean the vodka that I'm drinking right now?
Yeah,
I have it, right? It's here
yeah.
in the studio.
Come on, Tito's.
Let's
sponsor
go.
Up.
Right.
I'd like to get Southwest to sponsor me.
Right, Southwest. I mean,
right?
There's definitely.
I use them all the time. I really do. They're my first choice if they fly somewhere.
Like Lexapro, I could probably
really?
Get to sponsor. Yeah, anything in the mental health field.
Okay. Well, that helps I watch this show. But yeah, Schubert came out. And, you know, it's something like this. It's just, you know this stuff. So I was at the NoHo Comedy Festival. I had a great time. He came out, right, because we went out to lunch. So he came out. Does that give you like credibility when somebody says, hey, Dougie's friend came to do a show here? Like they know him. He's been there. He's not like he's never been there.
You mean Schubert?
Yeah.
Does it give you credibility? Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, hey.
He's like a well-known, you know, old school, like kick-ass comic. Yeah.
Dude, he came out and he came and he crushed. Like they did.
He's
they didn't,
a monster.
They didn't put it out at the beginning. They or at the end. They put these guys up in the beginning. So like Josh Wolf went up first.
I know Josh.
And I see him perform for the first time. Very funny guy. And then another local comic, which I remember, is a very funny guy. I don't know. He's usually at Ha Ha Comedy Club. And then Schubert goes up. So then Jack Jr. comes up and says, "Hey, you're next." I go, "Fuck, I got to follow fucking those guys." You know what I mean? And I shouldn't be. I should.
Terrible mindset to get into.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Yeah, you shouldn't think that way.
Jack's like, "Dude, you're fucking, you know." And then I felt bad. Jack Sr. came up to me the rest of the night after. He's like, "You're a funny guy." I'm like, "All right, already. I get it."
I remember when I used to be a paid regular at the Comedy Store back in the day. I used to have, when I first started there, I used to have to follow, well, Jimmy Schubert, when he was there at the time. Eddie Griffin, Carlos Mencia, Joe Rogan, Andrew Dice Clay.
Wow.
Louis C.K. Like people that were like established with TV and movie credits,
right.
And like people that were like, I just got past there. So I was like this little virgin comic and I was afraid. But that was the best training, I think, to get up and have to follow guys that are, and women, you know, female comics that are established. So just kind of like when I went to that open mic the other night, at Sweet Caroline's in downtown Miami, mm-hmm. after having killer shows at the Comedy Inn.
Great room, right? Well, you've been there before, though.
The Comedy Inn.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, great room. And Mike's awesome, the owner, and we celebrated his birthday, and the shows were sold out, and they were just like lit nights. Right? It was just on fire. And then I go to this open mic at Sweet Caroline's on Tuesday, and I bombed. I fucking bombed so bad.
Like crickets, like what? Like how do you? Well, like, do it was. Bomb? It was, you don't bomb, but like it just was flatter
it was,
than normal.
It was half bomb, and then I had like there was a corner of like these millennial kids, mm-hmm. like 23, 24 years old. They were just stoned, but they were chatting and trying to heckle and trying to help out, and that's my point of like giving
entitled
all,
maybe is that
well
the word?
Entitled, but then also free. They didn't pay. It's a free comedy right. show, so free is not funny.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Nothing free is funny.
My wife has gotten to the point where she can recognize when she comes to any of my shows. She'll recognize if it's a papered room. She even knows right. the terminology. She's like, is this a papered room?
I feel like there is a difference. I feel like the minute that there's a difference in the crowd, like I was talking to in Greensboro, the Comedy Zone in Greensboro
right.
with Paul, and he was like, "Yeah, no, we do no free tickets.
Yeah,
there's
he never
zero
does.
Free tickets,
good.
And
I think
it's like
a good policy
8 o'clock, the early show, the late show, packed. People love it. They're having a great time. But sure enough, you go somewhere else where they're giving away free tickets.
Well, that was my point. But my point in that story is that because I bombed so bad, it was such a humbling experience.
Yeah.
You know, like thinking, oh, I'm, you know, you. Because comics think we're so great because we have a great set 1, 2, 3 times in a row. And then you know, either do a bad room or you have a bad set or something doesn't go right that night. And then you go, oh, wow, I'm not that great. But I kind of like that feeling. It really took me back down to ground zero and it made me just reevaluate. Also, like, do I need to be nothing against that room, even the guy. What was his name again? The host?
Manny
Garavito.
Manny, awesome yeah. guy. He was, like, buying me drinks, and we were hanging out and talking shop. Like, super cool guy.
By the way, we lost the broadcast on Facebook Live. Should we pause, or should I just keep going through?
Why?
I don't know. I mean, it says, do with the wireless connection, your video has been paused. Consider moving to find a better signal. I'm not moving the house.
Can people still hear us?
Well, on the podcast, they will eventually. We're recording it, but I don't know what's going on with the video.
I don't know. I saw Jay Risk is watching. I don't know. That's gonna. I kind of find it comforting.
Yeah, people are. I guess if you can hear us, comment, guys. Yeah, good. All right.
I'm not happy that you had that experience.
Oh,
but,
I am.
But yeah, it does. I think it humbles you. And then when you see other, like, remember when Margaret Cho had that incident in New Jersey?
Yes.
Wasn't it in New Jersey?
Yes.
Where, like, and we've all, I think we've been there where, like, wow, the same jokes, the same room, same area. Like, I just told the same jokes last night and it did great. And then the next night, you know, so I think.
I even said that last night. I told the audience, I was like, these jokes were murdering on Saturday. And either I'm fucking up or you guys don't get it.
Right.
It is a weird feeling when that happens because you're like,
don't
get it.
It is psychologically fucked up. It's like, I'm pretty sure these jokes work. But maybe you guys are not missing it. Or maybe you're missing it and not getting it and missing the beat. I don't know. But it's all, again, going back to the free show and open mic. And it was
millennials.
Millennials. It was a rowdy room. I'm not going to lie. There was a lot of chatter going on and people talking in the corner. I used to run rooms like that. And I used to do rooms like that all the time. And I think it's good for a comic to do rooms like that mm-hmm. early on, even later on in your career, to go up and just fuck around. But
By the way, what's up, Jack Jr.?
I don't know. If it's,
just watching us now.
What's up, Jack?
Happy birthday, too. Late birthday.
Happy birthday,
what's
bro.
Up, fellas, Jack?
Jack Jr.
Fellas?
Yeah. There's a girl here, Jack.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Jack.
Yeah, man. Come on, dude.
Come on, Jack.
Come on, Jack. Say hi to Jen Hellman.
We have. There's a woman in the room, Jack.
Thanks. And it's not me. I got bigger tits than anybody here.
And I'm available July 7th and 8th to feature Jack.
Have you done that room?
No.
It's fun. His parents own it, Jack and Terry, Jack Sr. and Terry.
Oh, okay.
And it's fun. North Hollywood.
Yeah. I had a great time there. It's always a great room.
Cool bar, restaurant. It's like a... It's not... It's a traditional comedy club, but it's almost... It's also just a cool hangout because they have a cool, like, big bar.
That sounds great.
Karaoke. And, yeah, it's fun.
That's fun. I like that you brought up the whole thing about comics going to open mics, though, because I think open mics, that's where, you know, we sharpen our teeth. Yeah, you work out your new material. But again, I think sometimes you hear people like, oh, they're just open micers. And I hear other more seasoned comics talk down on open micers. But you forget those are the ones who are really sharpening their teeth right now because they're competing with TVs being on and people that don't want to be there. And
it's super
like,
competitive right now. That's one of... I didn't leave. I left Hollywood a year ago. I moved to Malaysia. And I didn't leave because of that specifically, but that was one of the kind of components of my exodus out of Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
Too much of an influx of people they just wanted to be on TV. They weren't even funny. They didn't do the work. They didn't get past at the clubs. They didn't do the road. They really didn't grind their teeth. They just kind of like showed up and thought, oh, okay, well, if that person can get a Netflix special, then I can get enough.
And
they are.
But that now Netflix is suffering because it's been said that the quality of the shows on there aren't that great. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, there's a couple, there's a few, right? But out of all of them, it's not, yeah. You know, they're not as, it's not like the old times, man. When you used to watch a special, you couldn't wait. The Eddie Murphy, you know what I mean?
Oh, HBO, God, all I that know. Shit, I remember I would stay home and not go, like when the Chris Rock special came out, like I was living in Delray. It must have been, I could probably even tell you, somewhere in like 2002, we had a special coming. And literally, I'm like, I'm not going out tonight. Chris Rock's new special is dropping tonight on HBO. It was an exciting thing.
You know, when Chappelle disappeared.
Right.
As people like to say, but he really didn't. He just was,
fucking with you guys.
Yeah, he just fucking took a hiatus. And he, by the way, he went out and wrote 4 comedy specials and got paid $60 million.
Yeah.
So when somebody says you disappear, or when people start like saying shit like that, I think he was just collecting information like a detective and doing his homework. And then boom, he's the hottest comic in the world right now.
Yeah, he's very.
Kevin Hart is the highest. Well, second highest paid next to Jerry Seinfeld.
And you got him out to Malaysia. That must have been exciting.
Kevin Hart?
Yeah.
I didn't personally. Our company, LOL Events, brought Kevin Hart out. And he was great, man. He was such a nice guy. And he killed it on stage. And you can see why he's so successful. You can kind of see it just like in his mannerisms and the way he operates with people. He's got a whole... He brought 18 people with him.
Yeah.
I was like...
Wait, on the show?
Well, he had a host,
like the Red Cup Boys.
Cup Boys. So I think three or four opening acts. He had his barber, which I thought was awesome. Like you can bring if you can pay your barber to come.
Like
with
you only need a haircut. Like every 2 or 3 weeks, right,
bro? It's just it's sweet goodness when you can afford to bring your barber.
You're that good.
Not only on the road around America to Malaysia.
Yeah.
He flew out to Malaysia, had a anyway. Personal trainer, 2 bodyguards, road manager, head of security, another guy that was just sort of like doing admin. I don't know what his job was.
Fluffing pillows. Fluff my pillow, man.
He has a bit of an entourage, is what you're
saying. Awesome, though. I mean, the energy in that guy, and you know.
I was surprised. I didn't know he was such a good storyteller.
He's the hardest working comic out there.
Yeah.
He is actually a good storyteller. I think a lot of people, I've heard people, oh, he's not the greatest comic and all that stuff. It doesn't matter. He's a great storyteller. He's funny. He's animated. He's super awesome businessman.
Incredibly likable on stage. I mean, you know.
Super likable. He, when I watched him in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, you know, he was telling, his stories were just hitting home with everybody. Because he was, you know, he's married with kids. He talked about, he was talking about how he was having sex with his wife and his kids walked in and what he had to do to cover it up. And it's fucking, I'm not going to hack his jokes, but.
Right. No, he is. He's funny.
It's very funny stuff, man.
And like I said, I had no idea he was such a good storyteller. He's great. When I saw him.
And he couldn't have been nicer. He was like, you know, it was his first time in Asia. So he was really sort of interested in like, hey, what's going on, you know, this side of the world. And I'd love to come back and maybe try to do something with you guys. So.
That's awesome.
Now, you mentioned about the Dave Chappelle takes off and he does all this, you know, writing. Like, where do you get your, do you write? Like, you one of the, do you journal every day? What's your kind of,
I don't really have a rule. I think a lot of people think, oh, if you're a comedian, you have to sit down 8 hours a day and, crank it out. Right.
I like to use a feather plume. I get an ink thing and get real traditional. Right.
And then as soon as you're done, you fold it up and you take your wax, stamp and,
give it to a guy on a horse. Bring this to my comedy editor.
Take this to the government.
Approve it. I don't want to be doing any of these king jokes.
Right.
Get me fucking beheaded, you asshole.
Right. What do I look like, a court jester? My inspiration is random. There is no, one thing.
System.
I thought... It's so funny because when you ask that, I think a lot of people have a go-to oh, this is what I do.
Right.
I actually don't.
Right. There's only one bit of structure to my writing is I have my phone.
Yeah.
It goes from here. I think of something and I record it.
Yeah. Well, there's
that's
that.
Okay. And then I write it down.
So just to kind of go through my process, something uncomfortable or bad has to happen to me or around me, or I have to witness something uncomfortable or bad, and then... that's when a comic's brain kicks in and we read between the lines. We look at the silver lining and go, ping. And that's what makes us different from civilians is we can pick apart scenarios and whatever and then break them down in a funny anecdote in a funny way. And then so what I do is I'll tell the story that I experienced to a buddy who's not in the industry, like a friend who's an accountant or something over dinner. Oh, man, you'd never believe what happened to me the other day. And I'll go into the story, and if they laugh, then I put it on stage.
It's a good test.
I find that happen. A lot
especially
of my
an accountant.
If it works.
I'm telling stories to friends.
Just
and
randoms.
I notice that they laugh.
If you really want to test it, you got to find a friend who's a mortician. buddy, I know things have been horrible for you today, but how about this?
Hey, forget about that dead silence going on at the office. So then I'll go on stage. If I try it on stage and it's kind of like a baby deer trying to walk, I'm trying to get the bullet points up there and get the laughs and go for the inflections and the whatever, little ticks and tacks. If that works, then I'll say, okay, then I'll keep doing it. And that's when I start recording my sets. And then I listen to the recordings and I just start to forensically dissect the smallest little inflection of a word or a polarity of something I'm doing in my voice, the bat of an eyelash. It could be a physical movement.
That part of being a stand-up comedy came to me about within the last year or two. Actually add the animation of the joke.
Oh, yeah.
Almost like a blocking of
the
tongue.
We call them act outs.
Yeah.
I don't mind an act out if it's a good act out, but humping the stool, that's not an act out.
I've never
that's,
seen that before.
You ever watch Def Comedy Jam?
Yeah, I'm kidding. I've seen every...
No, but I'm saying there are certain go-to act outs, but then I Richard Pryor was one of the best act out comics ever because... He was just such a good actor. Sebastian Maniscalco, who I used to be really
his
tight with.
His animation.
Very animated.
He used to be tight with.
I don't know these days, but I wish him well. He's doing well. But he got a little too Hollywood for me.
Yeah, I heard he ghosted a lot of people that came around when he was around. He was just doing his own thing.
Welcome to the, welcome to the comedy.
But everybody, when I hear something like that, I think about that because... I'm sick of this difference between being conceited and confident and successful. You know what I mean? It's always relative in a sense because growing up, when anything would ever come up, like with martial arts or soccer, he thinks he's so bad. No, motherfucker, I am bad, bitch.
I am bad,
and you better fucking kiss my ass. Don't be talking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's always the people that are the woe is me-ers. Is that a word? Can I coin that phrase? A woe are me-ers?
A woe are me-er.
Woe is me. kind of thing. What were meters? And you know, they're the ones, oh, I don't like that guy. He's a bit, you know, too up on himself. But fuck, I mean, if you've reached that plateau, it's almost like, how can you not be bitten by that bug?
It's not so much that. It's that, and I don't want to put too much energy on him because I just
today's about you.
Because today's about
me. You're the special guest, buddy.
Yeah, it's about me today.
But call us, Sebastian, if you're watching. Call us.
No, it's like, look, he's a
Sebastian's gonna be here next week. By the way,
he's an amazing comedian. Obviously, he earned $15 million last year. Was in Forbes magazine. Married a beautiful woman. Is an awesome father. Like, you know, he wrote a book. Like, he has.
Yeah, he's working.
He's got the trifecta. He's got the quan.
Right.
But I think he neglected people that helped him, not even helped him, just kind of like
support people that were there.
Gave him stepping stones along the way, which I feel like I personally did, not to take any credit and be like, I'm the one.
Sure.
But it's like, you can return my text.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm in LA. I know you just had a baby. Stop by and bring a gift. How's everything? Yeah, I'll let you know. And then he just slowly like disappeared.
Hey, let
like,
you know.
Well,
hey.
You just stop over there and bring a box of Ventimins.
No, don't ghost me. You know, he did the same with Dice.
Yeah.
Andrew Dice Clay helped him out quite a bit younger.
A little bit. I see Dice all in his...
Okay. You said it, not me.
I said it, absolutely. And everybody else says it,
that's
too.
That's why she's in the co-host seat.
No, but
she's
going like,
to take a fucking bullet from
right.
me.
I got to lose? But my Dice, feature spots at Bonkers?
Dice was like, I heard through the grapevine, through another Comedy Store comic, that Dice was at the Comedy Store, like, you know, having a whole diatribe and complaint session about how Sebastian Maniscalco can't call me back, and I'm the one who was, you know, I'm...
Yeah.
I helped him out. Okay. I mean, but that's my point, is like, you know, nobody wants any money from you, Sebastian. We're all comedy brothers and peers, and you want to, you know, kind of put yourself in a secluded... environment, it makes you like, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Pinchito?
I don't know what that means, but,
unapproachable, unattractive, just not
likable,
not compatible, not likable.
Recluse?
Yeah. No.
No?
Just no. living like, almost like living on a spaceship. Like, it's not real, guy. You know, come back down to reality, get grounded, talk to the people who were there with you when you first, when you were a waiter at the Four Seasons Hotel.
Yeah.
And we were getting you gigs and shit. You know,
well, not only that, but you like to think that those relationships were still meaningful, like that they were fun,
yeah.
that you enjoyed.
Well, that's a great point. Let me ask you this. Do you think now that it happened, maybe it wasn't? You know, it's like, it's amazing how you at the moment in time, you think people, oh, this person's so great. And then something happens like that. Or something happens, and all of a sudden they become completely different. And you say, oh, I never remembered them that way. But you know what? They were fooling us. They were just putting the wool over
us. I think it happens to every... It's just not so much... I mean, I don't know the music world because it's not my world. You know, as an actor, I can kind of understand it a little bit because I also act, and I have friends of mine that are actors and stuff. But comedians specifically, we are our own worst enemies. And we are self-sabotagers, and we're not a team sport. It's not a team activity.
Yeah.
It's me against the audience or me with the audience, whatever. But you don't share lines. You don't play fucking music together.
Right.
No, you don't take direction from anybody. You book your travel. You check into the hotel. You do the gig. You get the check. You go to the next city. It's really like being a lonely cowboy.
Yeah.
It sure is.
And because of that, there's
a sense of cowgirl.
But there's a sense of insecurity, I think, that comes with that.
Yeah.
And with that, you know, beholds, you know, contempt, I think, with people around you because you're just not comfortable in society and you don't know how to interact.
Yeah, we're kind of awkward people. Kind of, I mean, we're not, while we're playing, I feel like we're playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers anyway.
Right.
So, like, it makes these basic, like, interactions more challenging because we're not just experiencing any relationships on a simple surface level. But something that I've kind of found that brought me some peace in comedy is that two things. Now, I don't feel cocky ever about anything in my life. But what I found is not comparing myself to other people and focusing on myself, like, so not comparing myself to other people and not caring what people think. So those two things. So yeah. Like, oh, like if they're like, if somebody were to say she thinks this, this and that, you got something negative to say. And there are people who do. There are people who have no reason not to like me, who don't like me, like in industry people. I'm like, you know what? I'll still reach out to them. I'll throw them. I don't care.
It's the art of not giving
a
fuck.
You're you know, nice to my face. You talk shit behind my, I don't care. You're not, I mean, it's not that terrible. But at the same time, I don't spend a whole lot of time like, oh, well, why are they getting booked and I'm not? Or I hear some of this dialogue from other comics. I don't worry about who I'm funnier than or who's funnier than me or how are they getting this. If you got there, fucking great.
You know, I think
good
that's,
for you.
I think that's, somebody asked me the benefit of festivals. That's one of the things. If you're a comic that has never done a festival, it's good to do the festivals because you learn camaraderie. You learn that, hey, we're all just a bunch of knuckleheads. You know, that is the toxicity that can destroy careers when you go, oh, why am I getting this? Why am I not getting
actually,
that?
Festival, I will say this, to coattail what you just said, festivals definitely equalize comedy. Like, I've been to a few comedy festivals. Most egos are put aside.
At the festival. Oh, that's good, because I'm just starting. I saw, by the way, congratulations, World Series of Comedy. What satellite are you at?
Oh, I'm doing the Dayton, Ohio.
I made it into Kansas. I made it into Wichita, and I couldn't. I'm going to be away.
Oh.
But I'm resubmitting for like two other satellites. But this is the first year, and I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I want to do the festival thing and meet other comedians and collaborate with other comedians. That's kind of what I'm excited. I mean, I'd like to do
festivals,
validate.
Festivals definitely have that culture around them. Because in the regular comedy club scene, like outside of the festivals, then it's like dog eat dog. Where am I getting booked? How do we, you know, where's my spot? Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But the festivals.
Please stop ignoring my emails.
Right. But the festivals, you know, you have to be invited by the festival. So if you're invited by the festival and then all your peers and coworkers and comrades and enemies and people in the industry are there, then everybody just kind of shuts their fucking mouths and we hang out and party and drink and.
Yeah, you want to be that guy. Like, oh, I don't like that guy. Next thing you know, you're standing by yourself in the bowling alley while everybody's bowling. Ah, we bowled.
See, now, I felt like now in New York, have you ever been in, you've been in the New York scene a lot. Yeah. Like, I feel like there's a lot of camaraderie in New York. I was just
definitely
up there, and like, they're all like, they all work together, and they're like, on each other's podcasts and
so,
helping each other out.
Well, they do that in L.A., but only if you're famous.
Yes, these are all like comedy seller comics.
But the comedy culture in New York is by far more accepting and supportive than LA. LA is very, especially like lately. When I first started out in LA, it wasn't like that. But about like 2-3 years ago, it became very, very cutthroat and like fucking cheeky boutique-y and who has a podcast and who's got a TV show and who's fucking sucking.
You think it's part of the entrance of actors and people that want to be comics versus real true comics?
I think when social media became super relevant, you know, when comics were getting deals, not comics.
Because of video.
When social media influencers were getting agents and TV deals and comedy club tours.
Right.
Because of their social media following and not so much because of how funny
talent,
they are.
Their true talent.
That's when the industry changed. That's when it shifted and that's when I got the fuck out because I was like, I don't even want to be around this cesspool. It's a bunch of shit show. LA is a shit show.
Are you working on any of it? I always ask that. I always have these conversations with people who are somewhat like you, more seasoned, and you've been doing stand up raw, you know, great stand up comedy. Which are you working on any fun video projects? Do you dabble in that at all? Web series?
Oh, he dabbles. Well, he dabbles. So,
well, none of your business.
can I tell you about it?
Google it. I'm in Malaysia developing a couple TV shows, a movie. I'm just starting to collect a bunch of clips of my comedy from this tour that I'm doing.
Oh, cool.
About my material I'm doing, you know, revolving around Asia. So I'm like releasing a little bit of, you know, videos here and there. I don't want to reveal too much because I'd want to just put something out.
Right.
Sure.
I think comics are getting too caught up in like, I gotta have a video like to go viral. That's a little. It's like, fuck, just relax. Take a deep breath.
Take your time. Look at me. I've been doing a podcast for four years. I'm waiting for it to hit.
And no
messing with it. You're
so where's our marketing guy at?
You're dabbling.
I'm not dabbling.
You're in it. You're in it.
I'm in the shop, you know, hitting my iron, you know, like really going like I don't talk a lot about what I am doing. I like to talk about what I did.
Okay, I like that.
But right now there are a couple irons in the fire that I'm you know, passing
around. Sure. And then I like to do. I like to do the doo-doo. I like to do what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I like to take a dump on everybody.
No, I gotta ask. With things escalating still even more than when you had your tour with the rabbi and things like with things, do you find you want to go? Is it pulling you more into going back to the whole, like you had your peace tour and do you want to, is that still of interest to you or are you finding you want to like, I just need a break from that because it's so escalated?
You mean... Touring the Middle East or with
you were kind of influential in bringing using comedy to kind of bring peace and push for peace
we tried
but
it didn't work.
We're still
at
war.
But things are still escalating. Things have actually maybe even gotten worse. I mean, do you find like that it's something that you are passionate about, or you're just like, I want to stay funny. I want to just focus on.
Yeah,
like,
you know, there was a moment. I'll just be frank with you. There was a moment. It was right around again, like the time that I was sort of leaving Hollywood and got sick of Hollywood. There was a time when I was touring Palestine and Israel, and you know, we were calling it the Jesus tour.
Yeah. And you didn't have to carry that cross.
Something very benign.
Right. So we all, there was a guy who booked, it was a two-parter. There was a guy who booked this
palace. I would imagine there'd be two parts of the
right?
Two states.
It gets better. The story gets better. I did this Palestinian comedy festival with this comic named Amr Zahir out of Michigan. Dearborn, Michigan. He's very like proactive, free Palestine, and make Palestinian great again, and all that stuff.
Right.
Anyway, but I love him, and he's
is that
like
a MAGA?
MAPA.
Is that a MAPA?
MAPA.
Yeah. MAPA. Make
Palestine great again.
MAPKA.
So, but he's super like smart, PhD, like you know, musician, professor, like he's comedian. He's just like a jack of all trades, and he's a master of all of them, actually.
Wow.
So he did this comedy festival, and he invited me, and we did Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Nazareth, Ramallah, you know, and thousands of Palestinians came out and laughed.
Wow.
You know, and it was really cool to see that. And then we were driving through like checkpoints and stuff like that, and that was a little uncomfortable for me because I had like M16s in my face and stuff, and I was like, hey, I'm an American.
Yeah.
You know, here's my passport. And they were just like, who is your father? Who is your father's father? And it was just like, oh, what the fuck's going
on? Now, these are Israeli checkpoints? Or
yeah. So then, anyway, so that happened. And then I go to Israel, and I do a couple shows in Tel Aviv and, I can't remember, Haifa, mm-hmm. I think it was.
Right.
In front of mostly Zionists. And killed, no pun intended. And it was a very loving, warm reception,
that is so
and
funny.
And we all had.
You should have been at Caroline's the other night.
Hey, I bombed, killed and bombed.
It's not good when an Arab bombs.
So
killed
used.
And bombed in Israel.
I killed and bombed in Israel. So we had a warm reception afterwards, and blah blah blah. Anyway, I think that night I had to go straight to the airport to catch a flight, and I was detained for like 8 hours, and I went through like, no joke, like three or four like high security, like major physical checkpoints, like take your pants off, looking under my balls, like open your mouth. It's like, I felt like I was in jail.
No kidding.
It was kind of psychologically fucked up too, asking me weird questions and shit, sit in this room. And I had papers from the U.S. Embassy. I had news articles from the Jewish
tour and
journal.
Everything.
Oh, yeah. You know, comedy ambassador, this whole thing. And they just were so like not, it was the IDF.
right.
Israeli Defense Force.
Yeah, those guys don't have a sense of humor.
Well, it's like the New York Police Department or the LAPD, but you can't joke about them. So I was like, yo, guys, why don't you just Google my name? I'm actually, if you Google, you guys have a computer, just Google Ahmed Ahmed Comedian, that's me. And they're just like, yeah, we don't know, we cannot, we don't understand.
We smell Egypt on you.
Yeah, don't tell us what to do.
Don't tell us what to do.
Yeah.
Don't tell us, we smell Egypt.
8 hours later and almost missing my flight.
I smell Caracas.
We smell ancient Egypt.
Yes. Right. I smell shit stand.
Oriental family.
How did you build the Sphinx? Tell us.
Yeah. They're like, oh, sorry, we built it.
We know it wasn't the fucking wooden rolling things.
Were there aliens?
Bullshit.
Were there aliens? That's what you want to know.
Jewish aliens. So anyway, long story boring. I just was sitting there like frustrated and I took a picture of...
You got to put your clothes on by now? Or did you keep you naked?
No, I was there like, you know, clothed, but I had... It was a picture of, it said like secondary questioning or whatever kind of room we were in, the brown room, I call it, you know, with the cross and the cell phone. I just took a picture of it and I posted something like Israeli Defense Force is inhumane and has no, no human rights. And, you know, I'm an American citizen, paying American taxes, and, you know, my money is going to these guns and how dare they treat me like this at the airport.
How did that go over?
I pretty much got blacklisted from Hollywood for, I think, still.
Really? From Hollywood?
Okay.
How does that leak to Hollywood?
Because a lot of people were like, my Jewish friends were like, what the fuck's gotten into you? And why would you say that about Israel? Anti-Semitic. And I was like, bro, most of my friends are Jews. Like, I'm so not.
This was a moment that you were just isolated at that moment where you were at. Right?
By the way, an isolated moment with an isolated group. Whatever you want to call the military police. I don't know what the IDF.
IDF, Military Israeli Defense Forces.
So, all right, but is that police or military?
Well, I've never been there.
I don't know either. I think everything is military.
I think it's when you get to that, like, it's all okay. IDF. Are there it's police? All IDF.
So you know, there were a lot of comments from friends and you know, now foes who were like, you know, you hate Jews and you're anti-Semitic and what the fuck's gotten into you? And I was just like, that's so not the case.
No, it's just that it was cold and my dick was shriveled. I didn't want anybody to see it. I wasn't happy about it.
You know, sometimes there are things that are better left unsaid, but I don't regret that I said it.
Sure.
But I don't also like promote it if I ever were to do it again. The funny thing was all these Arabs came out of nowhere on my Facebook.
Yeah.
Post and they were like, good for you, Ahmed. Finally, somebody speaks on their behalf. La ilaha illallah.
Right.
You know, and it was just like,
so now the NSA is all the way up on Ahmed's balls.
He's got fucking Eric Snowden behind him.
They set up a camp under his balls.
That's it. You know, things got to be taken. It's amazing how people take things out of context. Somebody, and this is like, you don't know, you can't control. Like, you're talking about comedy, like, hey, what other people think and shit.
Sure.
First of all, I don't give a fuck what other people are thinking. You know why?
No way.
I have a hard time thinking what I'm thinking.
Right.
Number one. And somebody posted the other day this video of a police officer, I think it was in L.A. There was a young black woman wearing flip-flops and sweatpants and a shirt, and the cop was driving. She was trying to walk away, and he was trying to cuff her and grab her, and he ends up turning and flipping her to the ground like a fireman's carry.
Yeah, I saw that.
Everybody's like, oh, police brutality, this and that. And I basically posted something to the effect of, oh, nothing better than watching a 15-second clip and deriving everything we could possibly know about the situation and judging people and fucking condemning them.
Right.
You know, it's like there's no – everybody right now – here's the thing. Most of the – and I put on the book, 99% of these people have never been in that situation.
Right. It's like taking the 15 seconds of when my fucking boyfriend, you know,
how do you know there's
smacks
not like three
me in the face during sex and be like, oh, he beats her. But no, we're –
He likes it. Yeah. Right. I don't know. I got excited for a second.
It's consensual.
What?
Yes.
No, you just told a lot about yourself right now.
That just got started. We know everything about
you. Yeah, you throw me off. I'm trying to talk about police brutality here. Right. Now I feel like getting brutal with myself.
Right.
All right. So, but you know what I mean? How do we know that there wasn't three drowned children in a fucking tub? That they're trying to, that these people fit. You know what I mean? Like, and this guy was like, oh, what the fuck? I'm like, here's the thing. I don't know, you cocksucker. That's why I don't know either. And then you don't know. So why would you be condemned? Like, you know, people just make these decisions off the bat just from one moment in time. As opposed to saying, this isn't about Jews. This isn't about Israel. This is about me being detained for 8 hours, having to go through an unpleasant experience.
It was humiliating. It was humiliating, and it was psychologically, like, disturbed. Like, it was just like a psychological warfare, and I didn't like it. And
sure,
I was on my way out upsetting. Of the country, and I was like, I'm just gonna. But I was surprised how many like of my, you know. I mean, excuse me. I mean, I don't want to name names, but I definitely had people that were like, well, I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore.
From that, that's the amazing part. People that you've already had relationships with, you've been through shit with.
20 years. Know. I'm talking like 20 year relationships. Amazing. I'm like, I was like, all right, you know what? I respect, you know, I didn't, first of all, I didn't kill a baby.
Yeah.
nobody got hurt.
Right.
If anybody got hurt, I got hurt. Not to act like a victim.
You didn't do
like,
it. You didn't use any racial slurs. You were in. You were under the experience. Right now, it's like you were going through the experience.
You could have been in Yugoslavia. If you had been in Yugoslavia,
Yugoslavians would be like, "How dare you?"
You're travel weary. You're ready to get home.
I just came back. I just finished this. You know. Like beautiful, you know,
visit
and experience in not only Israel but Palestine as a comedy ambassador, like bringing humor to the world, especially that part of the world, and then to take it, no pun intended, but to kind of take it in the ass a little bit on the way out made me feel unappreciated and been like, well, then you know what, fuck you, like you're gonna hear about it, you know.
Yeah,
not that it moved the needle, trust me, I didn't change anything in Palestine or Israel
from
that post. In fact, that post hurt me, you know, in retrospect, but I don't regret it. Like, I would probably do it again if the situation happened again. I would just, you know,
I wish people, like, I hear a story like that, and I just wish people would take more time to just be people talking to people. Like, just, can you try to understand one another? Like, same thing with the Roseanne Barr comment, which ruined her
career. That was a complete
career. And I get offended by that because I would feel like if I was Roseanne, like, don't tell me what I meant. Like,
yeah.
She is insisting that she did not mean
that
it derogatory or comparing her to.
She does look like the woman from the Planet of the Apes.
I mean, I don't whether
come
she.
Come on, she does. She did look like her.
She listen. I don't get that offended. That's not what she meant.
I don't get offended when people think I look like Ron Jeremy. Goddamn it. You know, I'm not going to get all mad and shit.
Oh, I just noticed that.
Thanks, man.
But as a people, like even when we watched the Kavanaugh hearing, stop. He was fake. Stop telling people what the fuck they meant.
Yeah.
You don't know what they meant. You got to take for face value what you meant. I hate Jews.
Not at all.
Fuck. You meant.
At all.
Wow, we send all this money over to these guns, and now here I am American, and I can't get the fuck out of the country with
it
these
was
guns
a weird,
in my face.
It was
right.
A weird irony and a weird position for me to be in as a social commenter and, like, journalist. You know, a funny journalist is what we are, basically. I commented on it, and, you know, maybe it wasn't funny the way I commented on it, but I think at the end of the day, you know, it's kind of like what you said, like one soundbite or one tweet or one comment can fucking destroy you.
Yeah.
That's a fact these days.
We stopped. I used to make a lot of these answers. Like, that's like I answered to that fucking thing on the video, and all these people like, oh, those shitbags back in police. I'm like, this is a comic, and we ended up, it's funny. The funny thing is about human, there's one comic, he's out of Louisville. It was his post, and he was like, you this, you that, and we got into it a little bit. And then I broke chain, and I emailed him. I go, hey, bro, you know, whatever, this and that. I'm just making a comment on your post. I do have experience with these matters. I'm just sharing my fucking opinion. And we ended up, I apologize, good deal, shake hands, hug, and that was it. And, you know what I mean? But people don't have time for that anymore because everybody out there wants to be the knowing. They don't want to be out of the loop. They want to be the person that says, I'm the one who fucking said it. And this is a country of lemmings. You know, people trying to jump behind you. And people just going after me about this. Oh, this, you, how the fuck? Like, in philosophy, there's something that we say, you don't know what you don't know. And most people don't know what
they
don't know.
No news is no news.
You don't know.
They don't know what the fuck they're talking about. People think they know, but they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, you said it, by the way, buddy. It's that time. It's the news time.
Oh, let's talk about the
news. Yeah, we got a few stories, so.
Wacky news stories.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Thank you, Peter. Straight from the news lines, from a news team that has a typewriter.
The 1940s?
Yeah. And this just in, Ahmed... gets ass finger banged by the IDF.
I'll connect to you
film
right
at 11.
Yo, kid, go get me a stick of gum.
Here's a story. Philippines sets deadline for Canada to ship out garbage in filthy standoff. I was reading into this. You know, a lot of Asia, China and stuff, we send our recyclable shit there.
To Asia and China, like they don't create enough garbage with all that 500
we're
going to
add our 300 million
billion of those of their people. Don't they have laws, right? Like you can only have like one
hold on.
Kid.
They're, you're saying Canada and the US ships our recyclable garbage to Asia?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know what? That makes sense. I mean,
so they can make shit out of it and sell it back to us.
Sell it back to us.
Yeah.
Wow, no, seriously.
This milk carton looks familiar.
Okay. Here's some toys. Here's some dirty recycled toys for your kids to play with.
These are my shoes from fucking 1997.
Johnny,
we threw a little lead on top of that recycled paper for
Johnny's
your kids.
Johnny's G.I. Joe
with.
Smells like a used tampon. Canada has agreed to pay to re-export the waste it shipped to Philippines back home, but bureaucratic red tape is slowing down the process, according to Filipino officials. That's a crazy place. You've been to the Philippines?
I have.
Yeah, you can't do shit there wrong. Otherwise, you're in jail for 100,000 years.
Now you get caned.
Well,
yeah. I don't know. I may have just made that up.
Have you been there?
Never.
Candy cane?
Have you been there?
No.
106 million people from what I've read. And the traffic is pretty much the most insane traffic I've ever experienced, ever. Like
worse
anywhere
than
the
405 or what is it?
I mean, I haven't been to India, and I heard the traffic is bad in India. But like Jakarta in Indonesia has bad traffic,
and everybody's driving those little cars, right? Those little tiny cars too.
It's bad. You know, Thailand has bad traffic. Vietnam has bad traffic.
Right, they have like rickshaws on the road.
It's crazy. But Manila,
your monkeys
Philippines,
driving by on tricycles,
kind of. Manila, Philippines, especially Makati City. Oh my God. And all the people on mopeds and motorcycles all have masks on because the smog is so bad, bro. The smog is, you walk out, you can see it right there. Like, I took a walk outside of my hotel, literally 7 minutes, I had to go back in because the smog was so bad.
Ugh, disgusting.
In the Philippines.
The Philippines set a deadline on May 15th and prepared the trash for shipment by that date. The Canadian government, however, informed that it might take weeks for them to arrange the necessary documents from their end,
Even they have all that red tape.
That would red
bureaucracy of the trash industry. They got the Italian
red maple leaf.
The Italians got their hands in that.
Yeah. Between 2013 and 2014, Canada shipped more than 100,000 or 100 containers of household trash, including plastic bottles and bags, newspapers, and used adult diapers to the Philippines. No wonder they don't want to get this shit out of here.
What the fuck is going on?
Your grandpa's shit is unbelievable.
Keep it coming.
It's stinking up the dock.
Keep
it coming.
I
don't know my Canadian guy or my Philippine guy sounds like.
The Filipino guy.
I don't know what I'm doing
anymore.
Keep
it coming.
It's all the same. We just did the same for the Egyptian, the Israeli, the Filipino. We did all the same accent for all of them.
We're no Rich Littles.
My dog smells like a sewer trap right now.
Really? Is he farting?
I think he is. Is that, are you,
secretly?
Are you
can
farting?
You guys see this dog on the camera?
Yeah, look at him.
Look at him.
They know him. You can follow him at Nico the Comedy Dog on Instagram.
He has his own page?
Oh, yeah.
Bro, you're famous. You're Insta famous.
He's probably got more followers than I do.
He doesn't, but he does have some. He has like famous golfers and stuff.
Oh, really? Has
he ever gotten laid? Like, have you taken him to the?
I think my dog's gonna try
it.
Does it
look like
you could
do? It's like little piece of hair that sticks off.
Is
no,
is he? What do you call it? Neutered? What do you call that?
He is his neutered? Balls actually never dropped, so we never even had to get them neutered.
Has he tried to like fuck a stuffed animal?
He does
something?
Hump a little bit, like an arm or two, but it's still very asexual.
He doesn't know.
He's like me on Sunday morning.
Very asexual.
What's your dog's name? The Jack Russell?
Player.
Player. He is a player.
He is.
Yeah, people thought I was trying to like live through him vicariously. I'm like, dude, he's a player. He's a Jack.
He definitely gets chicks.
Hi.
You take him for a walk. Chicks walk up and say hi to him. He knows
they're
I'm talking
like,
about him. Too.
Yeah, that's
they're
good.
Like,
player,
like, what's up?
Player,
can I know you?
Come here, boy.
Can I call you?
How old is Player?
He's 14.
He's 14 years old.
Yeah,
man, you a player.
Yeah, he's like, look, I'm telling you.
How old is that in like human years? Like,
that's 98.
Yeah.
Wow. Does he take doggy Viagra?
After I give him, I take a bite and I give it to him. But every time I make love, I have my leg up in the air.
Hey.
Duarte recently threatened to declare war against Canada if they failed to remove the garbage. Imagine going over war for Canada and the Philippines. Go to war.
Over garbage?
Over garbage.
Sure.
Take your fucking bottles and grandpa's diapers.
Was that Scottish?
I don't know what that was.
Irish?
I think that was James Bond.
That was Game of Thrones. That's Dothraki.
I didn't get to say it. I haven't watched the last episode. Don't say anything. Florida woman pulls alligator from her pants during a traffic stop, and who hasn't? Florida woman pulled an alligator out of her pants during a traffic stop on Monday. A strange move that might just rank on the state's list of odd reported crimes.
She pulled an alligator out of her snapper trap?
Mm-hmm. Who was, I was watching, oh, I remember what I was watching. I can't blow it. There's a scene in a movie where...
She has an alligator in her pants?
No, the comic comes out and says, Florida, man. Florida. Like every headline always starts with Florida.
Everything Florida, in Florida. Yeah. Today in Florida.
Right.
Aria Machen-Laquier, 25, was the passenger seat of a vehicle around 3:30 a.m. in Punta Gorda.
Well, there's half your...
Yeah. When she pulled over, the Miami Herald reported the sighting, the incident reported in Charlotte County Sheriff's Office by them. It says here the department said the woman was asked if she had anything else in the vehicle and then proceeded to pull an alligator out of her yoga pants.
Was it a live alligator?
What a punta.
Punta Gordo.
Put that back in your
pants. You know, Punta Gorda.
Punta back in your pants.
Punta Gordo is only a mispronunciation for saying fat whore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Baby alligator or like a full metal? Baby, yeah.
No, it was a fucking
alligator. Like it was a 15-foot alligator. Her chach is the most cavernous.
You never know.
It was Wally Gator.
You never know what's going on out there.
She was also known as the Great Snatch.
Yeah, so can
that
you imagine?
That was dirty. Too dirty for Ahmed.
No, not too dirty for me.
Are you kidding me?
You should see my act lately.
Have you been dirty?
Are you coming to the show tonight?
Is there a show tonight?
Yeah, Tavolino's.
Oh, I'm not dressed to go to... Oh, Tavolino's is so good.
Do you want to perform? Can she perform? Can we put her on?
I got Nadim Awad doing a spot, Palestinian young comic, who's promised me he's not going to do any Muslim material. I said, you could do a spot, but I don't want to hear any Muslim material.
I don't care. I'm not going to do any Muslim material, so he can
but
do
I
it.
Just don't want him. I'm challenging him. He's like my Padawan.
Oh, okay.
He's like my opening act. Here's so, all right. Yeah.
Okay. Is there room for Jen to come on?
Jen. I'd have to see. The host, the owner doesn't like a lot of... Especially when there's a...
Tell the owner that I like to offer her some of my time.
Oh, and that's sweet.
That is sweet. I'll stop and pick up.
There you go.
10 minutes.
I do have a dress actually in my car.
It's all working out.
Oh my God.
Here's a story. Indiana's sheriff's office encourages drug dealers to snitch on other drug dealers. Indiana sheriff's office encourages drug dealers to rat out their competition.
No.
The Indiana Sheriff's Office is offering drug dealers the opportunity to snitch on their rivals as a way to take care of their competitors. Attention drug dealers, the Jennings County Sheriff's Office wrote on Facebook, too much competition bringing you down? Are you not making the profits you once did?
We'll pay you more money to snitch on your friends.
That's right. And don't worry about starting
your car
the
next
day.
No, the government has it. I mean, they can pay.
Nobody's going to take it. That your life is on the line. Like you're. No matter.
Some people, greed. It's all greed.
But listen, if you do it, you snitch on them, they're gone.
Yeah, but they're not gone.
They're in prison.
Trust me, I'm a pro at this. There's
right.
a ring.
So you belong to a drug ring.
They're in prison, still running the fucking ring.
Right. So then what happens?
Then you get
arrested later.
But it's not about getting arrested. You get killed. So so if one drops, he's off the street. But then there's the ring.
Right.
Who's now? They don't want you snitching their name, so they kill you.
Right.
In
they
got to
know. They got to find out.
She knows.
I do. I know this. This is what I would do. I mean, this is what I think would happen.
This is what you did. What happened? <I'm
joking>. This is how it goes down. I watch a lot of Dateline and Drug Zinc.
The form encourages criminals
to watch Oz.
Yeah. Submit the name of their drug dealing competition and what drugs they sell. The form also asks where the competition is located and what their vehicle license plate numbers are.
Are we losing? Are you going to
No. Keep going.
Is Ahmed going to the bathroom in the middle of the podcast? I would like for our podcast audience to know that Ahmed is taking a shit on the floor.
He thinks he's in an IDF fucking questioning camp.
That whole story scared him.
Yeah.
because of all the poppy that he's bringing in from Egypt.
The drug dealer is looking to rat out those in their field of work can contact Kay Freeman at JenningsSheriffs.org and ask for the sheriff.
Really?
Yeah. I think that's the way to go. Yeah, you're right. But my point is, if the guy ends up going to jail, one of those people end up going to jail from the other, from the one that got the other one in trouble. Hey, man, you ratted us out. Now they're in jail. The circle continues. They get killed. They get a bar of soap shoved up their ass. You know.
Whoa.
Like, I know I've
nobody
been,
said anything about shoving soap up anyone's ass. I just said you're going to get killed. Listen,
how do you know?
I'm a clean killer.
Right. you had to go there. You had to get the ass play in, Doug. You didn't.
I'm a clean motherfucker. I'm a clean fucker.
Take it to the ass.
I heard this story. I thought it was very funny. Coffee cup in Games of Thrones, or Game of Thrones, scene perks up viewers. Seems that somebody forgot to take a Starbucks coffee cup out of the scene.
I saw that.
I think that's honestly one of the most genius things ever in film.
You're talking about product placement.
Well, I mean, yeah, because the just boosted Starbucks. Sure. Like stock,
like they needed it.
Not thinking, yeah, like they needed it. But the fact that somebody missed it,
yeah.
And like, who's like, whoever? I just want to know: did they get fired?
Because
somebody had to, like, somebody was on continuity, patrol,
right?
For that table, or whatever the fucking scene was. So did the director or the producer or whatever go up to the prop person and say, hey? You fucked up, or that's one of the best things that's ever happened.
I was about to say, I would go to the other. I would say, wow, I love serendipity. Right. Like,
well, then that brings you to the question.
You failed to do your job, but now we got all of this PR. Now everybody's going to go and watch the episode look for.
But
like,
does that bring into question, though, that maybe it wasn't an accident? Maybe somebody said, let's do this. You know, Starbucks wrote them a few hundred
I'll tell you why it was an accident. Because the cup had the little sleeve on it, and the sleeve was
blocking Starbucks.
Well, no, kind of, but it was like, it looked like it just kind of like slipped down. It didn't look like it was there purposely. Somebody put the cup and the thing slipped down and they just forgot it there. It looked like it'd been there for hours.
Yeah,
actually.
They would have to charge Starbucks. Now, here's the more important question. Does that really, like, I'm a Dunkin' Donuts drinker. I'm a Game of Thrones fanatic.
Right, so you're going to change?
I am the mother of dragons.
That's hilarious.
Or little doggies.
I have a funny story to tell you. By the way, I'm just curious. Because I was reading the comments on, like, Twitter and online and stuff. Nobody really got mad at that. Like, nobody was like, how could this happen? This is a multi-million dollar production.
No, they
were
more mad about the darkness.
the darkness of
the shot.
Like, if you're going to highlight it.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody complained about how dark it is, but yet we found the Starbucks cup.
Right.
You know, we couldn't see what was happening.
Were you happy with the dark fight? Were you happy with it?
I have a Samsung. It didn't look dark. I don't know. My settings.
I have a Samsung.
Yeah, my settings were fine. I had no issues seeing any crucial parts of the long night.
Really?
I have this. I don't know if you've ever heard it. It's an old bit. When Game of Thrones first came out, a friend of mine tried to get me into it, and I was like, I don't like Dungeons and Dragons. It's just not for me.
I'm not a fantasy person either.
But you know what I mean?
But yeah, I totally know what you mean.
But in my head, I was like, how do you pitch a show like this and sell it? Like, the guys who, like, were, I don't know, the guys who wrote the books, like, they went into the pitch meeting at HBO, and they were like,
oh, yeah.
We've got this great idea for a show. It's called Game of Thrones.
Now,
takes
I know
place
they...
in this Eastern European country.
Right.
It's a fictional place.
Seven realms, seven gods. I know how they did it.
Unlike any other show, we have 40 lead characters.
Right.
Midgets, dragons, brothers and sisters are fucking each other. And the guy's like, hold on.
Incest, right.
You have midgets? I was like, yeah, we have midgets.
Hey, midget.
He's like, hey, can one of the midgets be the star of the show? And he's like, sure, I think we can.
I know who we're going to get for that.
I know how, though.
He has to fuck whoever he wants.
Yeah.
Main midget bangs the whole cast.
He does.
I drink, I read things, I read, and I know things.
Is there anything else? Yeah, can we get a black guy?
Yes.
Yes, he will be the king of Karth.
No, he'll say that's just not realistic.
But there is a black guy.
But we'll get 10,000 dickless black men.
Oh, right. That's right. There's also a gray worm.
What do they call themselves? The Sullies?
The Sullied. The Unsullied.
The Unsullied.
The Unsullied.
The Unsullied.
Did that guy survive? The guy.
We're not ruining this.
Us Game of Thrones nerds
cannot. Right, we can't ruin that. I can say this. I do know the answer to how they got it passed through. With all of that, there was probably still some naysayers in the HBO room going, no way. And they said, well, we got one other thing we forgot to mention. Every so often, we're going to show them Daenerys Targaryen's
titties.
We're just going to sprinkle
titties.
Them in.
Titties.
We're going to show them once. And then people are going to keep watching just to see if they get to see Daenerys Targaryen's titties again.
Which one is she? The blonde?
She's the blonde.
Yeah.
Is that the queen with the dragons?
Yes. That's
the mother of dragons.
Mother of dragons. Yeah.
That's who you are? You're the. Like,
I'm not really, actually. I'm more, I think if I'm any character, I'm maybe.
The witch?
I was about to say, I'm like, yeah, the fire witch.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. This bitch has dragons. That's a bad bitch.
Yeah. She is a bad bitch on those dragons.
I dated a girl one time who had a fucking pit bull, but dragon?
No. You date a girl who's got a dragon?
No.
Right. Dragons are no joke.
Game over. Yeah. Game of Thrones over.
Yeah.
you don't
show up late. You don't fuck around on her.
Right.
All of a sudden you hear
her. No, you don't pick her up. She picks you up.
Right.
Yeah.
On her dragon. Yeah.
On her fucking fire breathing dragon.
Imagine how nervous you are. You're on a date with another chick and all of a sudden you're. You hear that?
Shit.
Gotta get the fuck out of here.
She doesn't have to honk her horn. She just, you hear her coming.
I think I'm being followed.
What if the chick you're on the date with just goes and then fucking Godzilla comes out? And now it's an all-Western shootout.
It's going down for Dougie. Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Play with Dougie show. What a great ending.
This has been fun. Thanks for coming today.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, Ed, from ever joining us tonight.
Thanks, bro.
If you are watching us live and you're in South Florida, come out to Wise Guys Comedy Show at Tabellino's, Tabellino della Notte tonight, 8:15, just $15. I don't know if we have tickets left, but you can try. Don't be a lazy fuck. And, of course, if you're in Naples, we're going to be there.
Yes, Off the Hook Comedy Club.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we're going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. And what else we got coming up after that?
I'm on tour until late June around the U.S. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee at this new place called the Comedy Bar. I'll be in Houston in June, Vegas. AhmedAhmed.com if you want to go to
my
website.
Right. How about you, Jen?
Yeah, I'm all over the place until I think we're back here in July.
Yeah.
So go to my Instagram, Jen Hillman Media. And when I'm local here, you guys can come see me in Fort Lauderdale, Miami, and all those
nice
places. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be with Ahmed, like I just said. And next week, I'm going to be in Temecula, California, the Pachanga Casino, headlining
I grew up in Riverside.
I can't wait. Going to be there. Go to DougieAlmeida.com.
Where's Apple? Temecula? No. Never.
It's Southern California. Right. It's in between L.A. and San Diego, kind of.
Go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. Follow me at Dougie Dangerous, Instagram, Twitter. Follow our show on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie and our on Instagram at Wake Up Dougie Show. And go to a Podbean site for archive site for all kinds of shows. Be a patron. Donate money. We need some money. We don't have fucking sponsors yet.
Yes. I need to have my Uber ride paid for.
Yes. I'm in the red. I'm in the fucking red already. We have to shut the studio down. Hey, that's right. No more shows this week. We'll have a show next week on Monday. Don't know who will be here, but we'll find out when it happens. And other than that, guys, God bless. Take care. And we'll see you here next time in the same spot.
Power to the people.
People of the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside, thick beaming light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They passed the limits of imagination to the door to the world of another time. And on the journey of a thousand lifetimes with the children.